Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 29, La Serpiente Review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I am Brian.
And I am Kyle. And not Ruthie.
I'm getting to a point where I think I might end up fixing that myself, but just so you guys know, the reason why we haven't done it is because that was supplied to us. So it's not like I can replicate that guy's voice, so... All right. Well, anyway, tonight we are here to discuss season 3 of Fear the Walking Dead, episode 11, La Serpiente, written by a couple of people. I believe he's co-executive producer Mark Richard or Richard. That's never been fully
explained
or defined. And Lauren Signorino, I believe is how she says her name. And I definitely will probably get this guy's name wrong, but I'll try. But I'm probably better at pronouncing it than Kyle is. But let's just say that the title at the beginning, we had to do a few takes of that.
Anyway, I can't help it. From the South.
Well, that's okay. I'm from Canada, so I get some funny things as well sometimes. Joseph Waladka. Yeah, I think that's right. All right. What the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Well, we're going to start with some errata.
One morning, she
ate her. I'm leaving that in. Because we do it live.
No, we'll do it live!
All right. So, errata beyond what I just did. All right. Well, last week we had heard about there being a Breaking Bad theme featured during the trip to the bazaar or La Bazaar, whatever it's called. Or maybe it was La Bazaar. Anyway. The bazaar. It wasn't the theme of Breaking Bad. It was actually a song that was used during Breaking Bad that was called The Battle of Heisenberg. And I finally heard that. Actually, the Talking Dead podcast mentioned that on their episode this past week. And after I heard it I did a search for it on YouTube. I went, oh, I remember hearing that song during the episode. So my problem was I just didn't put two and two together. So I was looking for the actual, like, that boom, 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 boom. Anyway. Boom, 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 boom. Anyway. Bad example of the theme. Sorry.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to use that again. Ratings today, or for the last three episodes, for last week and for this past episode, were so bad that they also get the Price is Right horn. Yep, it is true, but it got its lowest ratings of the series so far. It first did this last week, and it only gave the ratings together as one. It didn't do what it had done in the past, where it had ratings for 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Yeah. They were combined because they were presented as one episode, as we talked about last week. It got 0.78 in the 18 to 49 with 2.139 million viewers. And for this week, it sunk even lower. It was pretty close, but it got a 0.74 in the 18 to 49. And for the first time, it did not break 2 million. It got 1.985 million viewers. So not good. Not terrible. I mean, it's still doing well compared to other shows. Like, for example, I know Preacher, I believe the initial ratings, you know, like the night of ratings for Better Call Saul, all are lower than that. So it's doing better relative to other shows. Relative to its Big Brother, though, not so well. And speaking of that, it's also worth saying that last week, there was the season 8 special that happened before it. And it got a 0.68 in the 18 to 49 with 1.923 million. So that's only about 200,000 less in total viewers than, you know, like for like essentially a Talking Dead special. So anyway, I guess that's good for the special, not so great for Fear. And Talking Dead for the 2 weeks, the one last week got a very low 0.21 in the 18 to 49 with only 638,000 viewers. Now that aired at, I think it came on at about 11:05. It was slightly more than 2 hours last week, I think. And this week it got slightly better. At a 0.24 in the 18 to 49 with 700,000 viewers. So it was up 62,000 viewers, which as a percentage is pretty good, but as you know, considering not so great. All right. Well, so that's it for the ratings. And they, at the time of, us recording on Tuesday night, they hadn't done the live plus three. Normally they come out like the Sunday, like the same, you know, day as the new show airs, but they're not out yet. So I don't know if that's, you know, that last week, of course, Irma, delayed them. That may be related to that. I don't know. Most of the website that I usually get the live plus three and live plus seven, TV by the numbers is what it's called. And they're not always consistent. Like sometimes they'll only do a live plus three and sometimes they'll only do a live plus seven, but most of the time they do both. But I noticed the last few, I don't know if it's like because of the summer or whatever, they'll sometimes like skip the live plus three and just publish a live plus seven. So anyway, so as far as news, one thing I noticed during Talking Dead this week was that I did not see the normal icon on there that says live. And I wondered about that. I was like, oh, that's interesting. It's not live. Well, I discovered why. Turned out that Chris Hardwick was presenting at the Emmys Sunday night.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't write down which award he presented, but it was one of the bigger awards. I think it might have been like Best Comedy Actress or something like that. Like, I don't know. I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of the last of the night. So And I think he presented with Deborah Messing, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think that's who it was. I think that's who it was. And J.D. Morgan, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he also presented. And he was, like, I think his was, like, the second to the last award. So, again, you know, so the Walking Dead universe was well represented. And Sonequa Martin-Green was also a presenter. Obviously, she's got the Star Trek Discovery coming out. And speaking of that, nice segue, I am pleased to let you all know that episode one of the Star Trek Discovery podcast is now out, so you can listen to it. Now, at the time of writing, the only place it, like, if you're looking for it in iTunes, you need to get it on the GSM master feed. But by the time that you listen to this episode, it should the it has been submitted to iTunes, and you should be able to get to it directly. So, and the website, if you go to StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com, that'll take you to the Golden Spiral Media page, and you'll see the first episode there. So, and we're recording another episode prior to the premiere Sunday night. But yeah, it's finally out there, and it seems like it's been forever that I've been talking about doing this podcast and debating whether or not I could do it. But you know, thanks to Kyle, and thanks to, because he's going to be taking over the editing as of next week. He's going to shadow this week, so I must train him. I must give him a crash course. Teach him all the ways of the Jedi. But yeah, Kyle's going to be taking over the talk through edits, and my co-host Adam on the Star Trek podcast is going to be doing the edits there. So I just need the host, but still, that's a lot of work anyway. So
yeah.
And the fact that the shows come on the same night. I mean, the only positive thing I could say is that Star Trek is released at 8:30 instead of 9 o'clock. So I can watch that first, and then watch Fear, you know, on a 30-minute delay or whatever. Okay, I mentioned Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Supposedly, his wife is expecting, so congratulations to Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And his wife, of course. Last news item, not much news there, but and I'm sure there were other news things, but it's been a rather busy week for me. Steven Yeun is he has a movie coming out pretty soon that he shot I guess after poor Glenn died. But I remember hearing about him getting the role. It's a movie called Mayhem, and he's one of the leads in it. And there's a movie poster out for it, and there's a link to it on the Facebook group. So
cool. Awesome.
All right. So before we get into awesome sauce for this week, we did get a little bit of feedback on last week's episode, so I guess we'll hear from Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Time to listen to what Dieta has to say to me. She says to me, "Hey, I just listened to the feedback episode about the they always come back line. I could have sworn Rick said something like that either when discussing killing the Terminus group or when he got to Alexandria with Deanna. I remember them having a discussion about going after somebody that had already attacked them. Rick wanted to go and kill them, and he said they always come back. Therefore, they needed to take care of them before they attacked again. I'm not sure of the episode or season, but that's what I think he said, something to that effect, and that's what I was referring to. And to that I say, ah, okay. Well, I do, you know, Dawn in the Coda episode, she did say they always come back. So, but that doesn't negate what you're saying. I think you might be correct. That to me, I don't know for sure, but it sounds like something that could have been said during No Sanctuary, you know, like at the end there when they all kind of meet up and Rick wants to go back and, you know, get the Terminus guys.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to go back and try to watch that to see if I was right. It could have been when they first got to Terminus. Or sorry, not to Terminus, to Alexandria, which probably would have been the episode Remember, which is, I think, episode 12 in season 5. If it had to do with the wolves, maybe it could have been, you know, I don't know, one of the episodes from season 6. I don't know. But to me, those two episodes from season 5, if Rick said that, and like I say, I wouldn't be surprised if he did. It would kind of make sense that he did. I would think it would be during No Sanctuary. So, all right. But thanks, Dieta. And notice I said your feedback this week. That was really something. It was funny.
It was just the way it was all. Yeah.
We did not. We didn't prepare that.
It was just the natural way it happened.
Yep. All right. Ratings for this week. So, Kyle, what did you think of La Serpiente?
Hey, I actually enjoyed this a lot more, which I expected I would. And so I gave it an 8 strands old movie tricks up his sleeve. And that's referring to him at the end.
Yeah, I like this one better myself. I actually gave it a slightly higher rating originally, but I took it down a little bit. But I gave it a nice round number of 9 disembodied sewer walkers.
Cool. Well, we got one more rating from Laura. 8 out of 10 walker enemas.
Yes, Walker. I have some things to say about that man. I do not like Mr. Walker right now.
Neither do I.
All right. Okay. Ruthie, what do you think? Is it time for Awesome Sauce?
Awesome Sauce!
Why, thank you, Ruthie. No, you're not here. We know, but anyway.
She's here in spirit.
She's here in spirit. And listeners, you will hear her soon enough. It's only a few weeks away from, what is it, four and a half weeks away? About a month away. A little more than a month before we get the main series. All right. We've got one listener, Awesome Sauce. Do you want to do it?
Sure. It comes from Laura. Daniel and Strand's conversation on the dam, the con man and the hit man. They'd be a dynamic duo if they could ever learn to just get along. And I kind of, was possible one of my like Awesome Sauce, because I mean, I do love that interaction between them.
Yeah, I like that too. And I'll say a little more about Strand in a minute, but why don't we do your Awesome Sauce next?
All right. It was the bloated walker and then Madison chopping it up. It was like that whole scene where they're like crawling in the sewer. And it was disgusting for one. They were just like, whatever you want to call that mud or grime. But then like, you know, they get to the walker and then she's just, instead of just being like, oh gosh, we got to go back. She's just like, hand me the hatchet. And she just started like whacking at it and blood's going everywhere. And then she like grabs the head after she pulls it off and hands it down the line. I mean, it was gross, but it really was such an awesome scene. I loved it.
I thought it was awesome as well. In fact, there was a weird thing going on with our Google Docs this time around. I wrote a bunch of stuff in the notes, and then I went back, and it was all gone. And I couldn't figure out why. It was like my tablet or phone wasn't like actually
saving.
Yeah, or I don't know if it saved it somewhere else or something. I don't know. But it was really weird. But I originally had that in the notes. And then when I went back to rewrite it, you'd already written it. So that was cool. But yeah, it was somewhat reminiscent of the Well Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was bloated. But the thing that I thought was interesting that I don't know if we've ever seen it before was the need to chop up a walker like that.
Yeah.
You know, so that part of it I thought was great. And, you know, Madison just didn't face her. She just did what she needed to do. And that was, it was really good. You know, I have no complaints whatsoever about that. So, all right. Well, my awesome sauce is not in the notes, but Madison and Strand, I think, in this episode, I really enjoy those two working together. And it was the part where he told Madison that who was at the dam and, you know, what he had done to Daniel and, you know, how Daniel was, basically left him for dead. And when Madison came back and said, she was going to be able to, you know, fulfill his promise because Ophelia was there at the ranch. And he said, hope springs from darkness or something like that.
I think that's what he says. Something like, hope springs from darkness. And I remember that too. I liked that his face just went, oh, like,
yeah,
like great news.
Yeah. So what Laura said about Strand, I think in general was, my favorite part of the episode. So I enjoyed the Daniel scenes and also the Madison scenes. And I also, since I'm talking about those kind of scenes, I also enjoyed the scenes between, Lola and Madison. The one where she kind of, Lola offers her kind of safe passage or whatever, you know, that they could stay at the dam.
Yeah, to bring her kids there.
Yeah. Yeah, and after this episode, I kept thinking about where this is going to go. And I have to think that this is not going to end well. But we'll get into that later, I think. It ended at a good, you know, this almost ended at a happy ending, but I just feel like this is going to get totally screwed up.
Yeah, no, agree. It's the Walking Dead universe. It's not gonna go good.
Yeah,
that's just, we can expect that.
Yeah. All right, do you have any more awesome sauce?
You know, that was probably just to agree with like Laura, because, you know, it was fun to see Daniel, who almost like despises Strand, and I think I talk about it later, but you know, that's just their little back and forth throughout the whole episode, just like not trusting him or calling him a snake, you know, a snake. The episode had a lot of good pairings, so that was good.
Yes. All right. Now it's time for the weak variety.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Well, you did Laura's awesome sauce. I'm going to do her weak sauce, and you'll see why. She says Walker, the character, not the dead, cannot tell if the writers want us to side with him or not. Every time I feel some empathy for a situation, he'll do something petty that makes me dislike him again. I have to agree. Walker was definitely my weak sauce this episode. He was driving me nuts. Now, I remember back in one of the episodes from 3A, I talked about Troy And, you know, he was like, I will leave you for the weekend, you know, as a 6-year-old. And to me, Walker was acting like a 6-year-old. He's like, screw this, I'm done. He sounded like a South Park character. You know, I kept thinking of, like, every time that something would go wrong, he'd be screw you, I'm out of here. You don't get your water. I'm going to send everyone away. And it's like, shut up.
Yeah. It's like he gave up almost every second he could just to be like, I want out of this now, or like, I'm going back home. Like, I don't want to play with you anymore. I totally, completely agree. Like, he just was always back and forth the whole time. He'd be all like, you know, like, let's go get the, you know, water or whatever. Like, let's stick with the plan. And then something wouldn't happen. Or why did I ever trust you? You know, it's like, you just aren't, I don't know, you know, just whatever, like towards Madison, he did that a lot, obviously, but it was just.
And Strand.
Like, yeah, Strand. Yeah. He was all like, I don't trust him. Or how do you trust this guy? And it's like, dude, like, her getting you to the dam, I think, would have been enough to be like, okay, you have something going on. Like, I don't know. He was a crybaby.
Yeah. And like, even, you know, taking this a step further, not being a crybaby, but, you know, trying to make a great first impression to, you know, because it's implied, although we don't actually see it, that, you know, she might be hooking up with Walker. And Ophelia, you know, Daniel asks about Ophelia, and Walker's response is like, you know, she's a hero to our group. She poisoned a bunch of people. Like, that's the first thing you want to tell her dad, that, you know, right, essentially, yeah. Yes, okay, she's a hero to your people, but poisoning a bunch of people and killing them, you know, that's not exactly the best way of, you know, I don't think you're getting a second date, Walker. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't have this character and the way he acted, like, he kept on, you know, saying, screw this, I'm out of here. Screw this, we're, you know, if you don't get your water, you're out of here. But at the same time, he kept on letting Madison take, you know, take
like first charge.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like he never, like, butted in and be like, no, here, I will, like, push her out of the way and talk to Lola himself. He just sat back and was like, oh, no, I'll let Madison do it all. Oh, but you didn't get it done? Well, blah, I'm out of here.
And supposedly, yeah. You know, the bazaar was in Mexicali, and this dam was outside of Tijuana. We don't actually find out where. I think, you know, it's an actual dam that exists, and I think it's outside of Tijuana. But it's, you know, it's close to Tijuana.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're going to meet at this bazaar, because it's supposedly equidistant between the two, you know, places, and Walker's just gonna walk home.
I know.
So anyway, this extends beyond, you know, your normal awesome sauce, but yeah, I almost knocked the episode down another point just because of him, but it was the other things that, you know, made up for it. But I do not like what they're doing with his character. I don't like his character.
Yeah.
You know? All right. You got another weak sauce?
Yeah.
You haven't given a weak sauce yet.
No, I haven't. I kind of agreed with one that you brought up, which was at the very beginning when they're on their way to go to the dam. And it was just, I mean, I guess there was a couple times in the episode, there was just like little things that happened that was like, oh, that's kind of cheesy or whatever. But
And we should explain. We should explain. I brought it up in the notes, so I haven't actually said it on the episode yet. But since you agree, why don't you say it?
So at the very beginning scene when they're on their way to, you know, the dam or whatever, they run into that street full or the road full of walkers, and it's kind of like blocked. And then so they're like looking at it like, oh no, this is bad. Even like Walker's like, what did you get us into? What's going on? And then Strand pulls out whatever that was. I don't know. It was like a keychain that beeps. And so then he throws that out, and then that somehow attracts all the walkers and like clears their path. You know, and then like, so they all go and do, it's almost kind of like the weird or the stupid put the blood on you and the walker standing right there, and then you become invisible. It's like, here's the magic beeper that just totally distracts the walkers. And then, you know, they push that car out of the way and, you know, take off. And at first I thought it was like, cause then, you know, it cut to the next scene where they're like at the gates or whatever to where they're trying to go. And I thought they were like going through the whole, because if you see that scene, there's just the road is forever packed with like cars and stuff.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until my third watch when I was actually at work watching it that I saw that they actually turned her off. And there's that sign that says Jesus saved. So they actually turned once they got past that car. So then I was kind of like, okay, well, it's still everybody keep a little beeper on you just in case.
Yeah, and that beeper, you know, that was noisy enough to go over this big semi truck. And, well, okay, not a semi, it's a tanker, but still, it's, you know, that kind of engine. And also moving cars with it, and yet this little beep, 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 you know, which I think it was supposed to be like a car alarm. Or something.
I didn't know what exactly it was, but.
But it didn't, it wasn't like, you know, the kind of car, the noise that a car would make if you, you know, like press the.
Right.
Open on a, on, unlock on a keychain or something. It was just like beep.
It was the right frequency that the walkers could hear instead of a clanky diesel giant truck, you know?
Yeah. I mean, part of it, The thing that I liked about it was it reminded me of something we saw Enid do. Like, I think she used like an egg timer or an alarm clock or something like that to distract walkers. And, you know, so that part of it I really liked, but the execution of it was just not there. I mean, it would have worked a lot better if it had been something like, you know, an alarm clock or
something like that,
you know, but I don't know. Oh, well,
it worked. It got them through.
Well, it worked for the walkers, but not for us. Well, the way it was portrayed, you know.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Maybe they just, you know, needed a better Foley artist to, you know, to make it sound louder or something. I don't know.
Oh, well.
All right. Do you have anything else?
No, not really.
All right. Well, we did get this little piece of feedback. Let's hear our good... well, I shouldn't say our good man, Simon. Our interesting man, Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right, on the episode post on the Facebook group, you had said, Strand is my man. And Kristen reacted to that. She said, Strand is great. However, they need to be careful with using him too much as a safety net. Without him and Daniel, this show would be garbage. I'm always thirsty and hot whenever we watch. That's something I hear that a lot lately about people being thirsty. I'm not sure where that comes from, but I know I've heard it said on Walking Dead. I heard it said on Game of Thrones, but like this, you know, like any kind of like yearning for something, or, you know, eager, or you're thirsty. So, all right. Well, we were really light on feedback this week.
Light on feedback.
So we are on to our own thoughts here. So, okay. So, what do you want to start with?
Well, I guess, cause you know, not to jump around too much. So Lola and Daniel, like, they had that discussion about the neighborhoods, and, I think that one time they were like looking at a map, and then, she was, you know, they were talking about like, oh yeah, we haven't been to this neighborhood in a long time. And so Lola was like, let's go there and get, you know, those people really need water and stuff like that. But it was just like, you know, and Daniel kind of was trying to be realistic with Lola, cause you know, they got attacked, that, you know, it's like, well, remember the last time we went there, it's like, we got attacked, and like, kind of had this conversation about what her, like, their situation is. And we get to see a little bit more about Lola, cause she wants to help. She wants to be like the good ruler of the dam, and right, like, you know, help her people. You know, and I think at one time she even says, she's all like, I forgot this name, the person that was in control of the dam before.
Oh, Dante.
Dante. Ah. Cause she was accusing Daniel, as like, you want me to be a Dante, like, be a killer. But that interaction, and just like kind of seeing a little bit more about her kind of aspect, like what she's trying to do and what she sees her role at that dam, saving people or help, you know, sharing the wealth. But then flip that to like what we see with, Ephraim and, Strand's conversation. And he's like, I just want to open up the floodgates and let everything go, and like, you know, God will like, you know, take care of the rest. So, I just loved seeing those little, like, we got little bits and pieces throughout the episode of like, you know, kind of where this structure of, you know, who's in control, like the different, you know, aspects of what people are wanting to do or trying to convince each other to do, or what Daniel feels. What do you think about, like,
well, I go back to the episode 100, where we see that Lola's able to direct water to a specific place, or maybe places, but we know that it goes to like this
fountain. Yeah.
Why can't they do that? To me, I think Ephraim's idea of just, you know, letting all the water out, I think is crazy, because it is, you know, kind of a finite resource. Eventually, you know, it is going to get depleted, and it could, you know, get contaminated,
not,
for that matter.
Right. It's not really probably the cleanest, most, right. Yeah, like people could die from that.
Right. But it seems to me that there should be a way to release that without like having to use a water tanker,
yeah,
you know, like release it out to pipes that, you know, maybe release, you know, like certain types of, or certain areas of the city, you know, certain days or certain times of the day, like a little bit out every day, but, you know, different times of the day for the city or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you make a good point, because it's like, we did see that pretty much from the beginning.
Yeah,
that she was redoing certain releases at a certain time of day once a week, and people were getting water that way, to like, that's no longer an option, and they're taking big tankers out, or, you know what, maybe it's just her trying to show that she's not Dante, or that, you know, it does make it kind of, you know, a little bit like, what's going on? Like, you know, or just, that's just her outlook on things. So we're taking her character as being just the giving, and I want to help everyone and prove to them that I'm good or something. I don't know.
I tend to think that, you know, there'd be certain areas of the town, you know, and maybe for that matter, the whole town at this point, where the power's out and, you know, you would need pumps and whatnot mm-hmm. to, you know, drive that water down. So, you know, I could see it, but we do have that recent evidence that she's able to pass it at least to one place. And if mm-hmm. that's the place, then that becomes the place. And
right,
maybe
right.
just let the water flow there. And that's where they go. And that's what I say. It's to me, how it's presented, especially considering how we saw it earlier, mm-hmm. is a little suspect for me. I appreciate it. I get what each character is trying to do, but it just seems to me like the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just mentioned Ephraim. Now Strand asked him if he was like an associate of Daniel in El Salvador, but he didn't actually think that that was the case, did he?
I didn't think so, but because I think Strand was trying to figure out what was going on, or like, I guess kind of like who he's dealing with, maybe like, you know, what like kind of like where Daniel fits in this whole scheme of things. And you know, I think he was just fishing for information.
Yeah. And it just seemed like a strange thing to say to
like
Ephraim of all people, you know, who like I imagine originally he and Daniel were best buds, but after he nearly killed him, there's probably some bad blood there with Ephraim. Anyway. I thought it was kind of interesting that the whole episode was the dam, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure at this point that the next episode we're not even going to see Madison Strand and Walker. It's going to be the stuff that's been going on at the ranch.
The ranch. Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, everyone was feeling merry, so she got up and left. And then everyone jumped for joy.
Yay.
I felt like I was 15 again there just now. Anyway, what else you got?
I mean, we kind of touched a little bit on just Walker. And one of the things that, again, to just add more on him of his character this episode was just annoying. Like, so, you know, Walker basically towards the end was just like, done with Madison and was all like basically saying, you lied to me. It's like, you're like, why do you have a hard time honoring your word? And then he starts basically saying that ranchers have to go. And if they don't go, then we'll force them. And so he storms off and Madison's like, no, give it time or a chance. So then she gets things done. He's walking home and she pulls up and she's like, I can't remember. She's just like, you need a lift, or like, you want some, are you thirsty or something? And he has this big smile on his face. Like he's like they're best friends. And he's just like, oh, it was so disjointed, I guess. Or just like, it was such a, it just broke me out of the whole thing. And I'm like, what? Like, were they just like having, you know, like, were they just play fighting? Well, you know, because
it's crazy. You know, it's like we were saying, he's this hot and cold, you know, like if he doesn't get his way right away, he starts, you know, throwing a hissy fit.
Well, I mean, it makes me think, too, that it's just like, if maybe that's what they're playing up, is that he actually is a weak person. Like he's not as, I guess, commanding as Madison can be. You know, he's when he's got his people and then maybe the numbers on his side, that both bolsters him up to make him feel better about himself. But it was just him one-on-one. He really kind of is all bark and no bite.
Yeah, but why does his people get the ranch and the ranch people get kicked out. I mean, yeah. Why is that?
Well, they've always claimed it as their land. So, I mean, they're just going to side with that. I mean, yeah. I didn't write it down and I'd have to go back and look. But I thought that during that little exchange at the end when he's basically yelling at Madison, I thought at one point he just said something where it's like, you guys have to go, but we will have to kick the ranchers off. And I think he actually did say we or like us. And then later on, it's all like, no, you're just going to have to go out in the desert or something like that. But I didn't have time to check that. So maybe we can check that out to, come back to it at another point. But, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so in many ways he was the weak part of this episode in every way to me.
Well, do you have anything or what else to add?
The thing that I guess I can say is that there was a whole bunch of, Lola was very quick to say, you bring Ophelia the next, during that first delivery. And that immediately made me think that Ophelia's not long for this story. and I say this, I don't know, okay? I wouldn't consider this a spoiler, but I know that Mercedes Mason is expecting. So, she's having a child, and a lot of times this is not always the case, of course, but I know that some wait until they have a little break in their in their roles to have children. So that's very true, like Sonequa Martin-Green and Christian Siratos, both on The Walking Dead, had children while they were still on the show. And, so it's not always the case, but it made me wonder if, and just the fact that they put all of that on the fact that Ophelia had to be at this thing.
Yeah, exchange.
It made me think that Troy's going to come around and he's going to kill her, either next episode or something's going to happen. And Daniel's never going to see his daughter, unless she's dead, unless he sees her dead or something,
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the clip right after the end of the show, I mean, kind of saw that there's a lot of stuff going on at the ranch. So I don't want to think that she's in trouble till much later if something's going to happen to her. I think she still has a role to play, whether or not trying to convince Lola or like maybe the group to do something, or something tragic happens and that pushes Daniel over the edge or away or vice versa. So I don't know. I think what at least if anything we can say is Lola, I think, was probably wanting her to be there because Daniel, was talking about, Ophelia thinks that I'm dead, so it's better that she probably be that way, but was fighting with her, I guess, over doing the damn, like running the damn her way. But now that she turned around to Daniel's more forceful, violent side, that she's just like, okay, then I want to make sure this Ophelia person is real and alive or something, something like that.
Yeah.
She's like making sure that she's there.
Yeah. And I think that, I hope that I'm wrong. I don't want the character to die. I want, there was one thing that I mentioned again, first half, that I think it's going to be Ophelia that finally, relieves the burden on, Daniel's heart by, forgiving him. Because I think she's the one that would be able to offer the forgiveness that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, I want to see those two together. So I hope I'm wrong, but It just seemed like the way that they said that, it is, you know, like you said, it's the Walking Dead universe and that kind of thing. You know, and we've seen it over and over again where,
yeah.
You know, I don't have anything else. I may think of something, listening to your notes, but do you have anything else?
I mean, no, I know. I was going if there was anything else that was like we missed really, but I think we pretty much got most of the major parts of, you know, the episode, like the story, because it was just all about the dam.
Oh, you know what? I do see something that, you, in your notes, you mentioned. What is it with Daniel singing Down with the Water Queen?
Oh, yeah. When they're talking at the dam, with our Strand and Daniel. Yeah, I don't know, because like later on, whenever Strand blows up the tanker, like, Daniel tells Lola, it's all like, he's all like, see, cause I guess like the group of people started coming or whatever. And he's like, see, they're singing Down with the Water Queen. Or like he mentions that, but you know, we don't see subtitles. I didn't see any, you know, in the captions or whatever of like, oh, singing musical notes. And I don't know if he's kind of been having this plan to try to convince Lola that he's right, maybe. And so, you know, coming up with the story, say, see, they're calling you the Water Queen. You know, like they really want to hurt you, if that's kind of help persuade her. So I don't know. That's where I noticed that. And I was like, why is he singing Down with the Water Queen? And then not too much longer, he's like, says that to Lola.
Yeah. And, another thing too, and you mentioned, you know, and actually Laura did too. And by the way, I did not do this. Laura, for your feedback this week, you obviously deserve the showcase. So again, Laura, and I think you are a multi, time winning person, but thank you for your feedback this week, and you get another year's supply of which of course was a big part of this episode, even though we didn't get to hear that was missing. I wanted to hear that. It would have been perfect.
Yeah. Oh, good hope.
Getting back to Strand and Daniel, the thing about when Strand said, you know, called him the, you know, whatever you've got, you know, brewing in that serpent head of yours, you know, it was pretty clear that he's like, hey, you know, if you come up with something that, you know, will help me, I'll just, you know, and it helps you, I'll just look the other way. So I guess he was kind of thinking that Strand might come up with something. And of course, you know, blowing up that tanker seemed to play right into what Daniel wanted. So,
yep. It's just that whole exchange between, you know, because we know Daniel despises Strand and Strand like doesn't really like Daniel, but I don't feel like Strand really doesn't like dislikes Daniel, but
yeah,
he just kind of keeps his distance, but he just also wants to make sure he doesn't make him mad enough to kill him.
I think that, you know, Strand, I wouldn't say that he doesn't like Daniel, but he knows that Daniel is very suspicious of him and in general doesn't like his kind of, you know, like the funny thing is, like, you know, you've got Strand and Madison have, like, that was reason why I thought that was an awesome sauce, because you see they've become friends and, you know, she's someone that that he can, you know, depend on, and vice versa. Like, she knows that he can get stuff done. He can, you know, he can come through, and he's, you know, he saved them. He got them out of the prison, or out, you know, out of the he got everybody out of that military installation, got them to the boat, you know, you know, got them to the, you know, the Abigail.
To the Abigail, yeah.
You know, got them to the Abigail estate, you know, and all of those things were things that Strand did. Without Strand, you know, they would have not been in good shape. So, you know, he got Nick out of there at the military place. And so they, and at the same time, you know, Madison has been there for Strand at the same time. And so it's good that the two of them, I think, are really true friends now. And they would have been two people that, you know, pre-apocalypse probably never would have met.
Probably would never have met, or would have talked to each other. And I guess there's the overall thing, though, like with Madison, you know, of course they had this journey together from the start of it all, Daniel, you know, and his, you know, wife and Ophelia.
Yeah.
But like even Daniel even says it, he's just like, no, she's never lied to me before. I trust her.
Yeah. And yeah. Same.
Like, yeah, they have trust. They trust her. She's not one that's going to backstab him. So they don't have that. But Strand and Daniel, they'll probably backstab each other if it's for their own good. But Madison's sitting pretty good.
Yeah. It's a good point you mentioned, because Daniel, you know, Madison again came through for Daniel and his family, you know, gave them a place to stay there at the beginning and you know, took care of them, you know, several times when they didn't necessarily have to.
Yeah.
One other thing that I wanted to mention, now that I think about it, we were talking, you know, between those two, Strand and Madison, they have that exchange about, you know, where Strand actually asks her, you know, what does she want? Like, you know, take the kids out of it, and what does she want? It's almost like she doesn't really even know what she wants, but, you know, she says that she feels, you know, home at the
ranch.
I thought that, you know, that it's country or something, and I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, because, you know, I guess that kind of also, you know, plays or goes to why she didn't accept Lola's invitation to being like, oh, yeah, okay, I want to protect my kids. I'll just come move to the dam. But cause she said something like Strand asked her, like, if, you know, don't think of the kids, like, back in the 80s, you're a perm Madison.
Yeah.
And like, what would you do? What do you want? And she's like, I forgot. I should have wrote this down. I remember it was like she wanted a car and like tickets to Cheap Trick in Alabama Birmingham. Somewhere. Or Birmingham, yeah. So like, I don't know. That was just kind of funny. But then you flip that around where she's like, what do you want? And he was like, I don't want to ever let my friends down.
Yeah.
So it's kind of also makes you think it's like a Strandfield have some guilt.
Well, things. He probably does, but at the same time, you know, that just goes to show you when he says he doesn't want to let his friends down. Well, who's his friend?
Right.
You know? So yeah, those two, I think are really good. Okay. So makes me wonder, okay, we know that, Madison grew up in Alabama. I don't, maybe it was said, I'd have to go back to that mid-season finale. If she said where in Alabama, you know, her dad was a counselor or whatever, city counselor.
Oh yeah.
But, it almost made the fact that, you know, she says she's country or whatever. Does that mean that she grew up in a rural area of Alabama, not in the city? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I guess being from the South, like if you did grow up in a small town, maybe it's just like she likes the ranch because it's space and not packed in a building. Maybe I don't know. We could probably talk about all sorts of like ways to think about it or why she does, you know, but I guess that, or she's just tired of running. She's like, hey, we've got a place that's got, you know, possible, you know, like crops, and just like Rick, I guess, you know, at the prison, finally found a place that he could call, that they could call home. So yeah, she's staking her claim.
All right. I don't have anything else.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I've got to.
Yeah. That's okay. Shorter podcast this time. So that's good. To submit your theories and feedback to us, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, and there you can submit text or audio. You know, you just record yourself a nice little file on your phone, and you can send it there, or use the SpeakPipe widget, which you find on that same page. There's also a phone number. You can call 304-837-2278. That's the general Golden Spiral Media feedback line. So make sure you say Walking Dead Talk Through. most people, though, participate and send us feedback on our great Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/WalkingDeadGSM. And if you are not a member, Enid says,
are you serious?
Seriously.
And the deadline for submitting feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, the Tuesday after the episode has aired. Now, we mentioned I gave the URL already, right?
Yep.
We mentioned last week, we didn't get any feedback that way, but we are experimenting with an email address for feedback as well, which would be walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. So you can send us feedback that way as well. Through Twitter as well, walkingdeadgsm is our Twitter. So you can send us stuff there. I know Ken from Chicago does, but I don't know if he actually watches Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So we haven't heard from him in several weeks now.
Well, regardless, people, send your feedback. We really love it.
Yes.
Yes. We need it.
Yeah. We were late this week, and I don't know if we suffered from it, but at the same time, though, less feedback means shorter episodes. So that's good for us. So can't complain about a shorter episode. I can complain about lack of feedback, but not a shorter episode. Anyway, if you want to help support us, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. That takes you to in iTunes, or I guess it will open on your phone to go to the Apple Podcasts app. That shows you where all of the podcasts within the Golden Spiral Media Network are. You can find us there. And while you're there, subscribe to us. That helps get us noticed on the in the Apple algorithm. And of course, you know, we would really appreciate it if you go there also to give us a 5-star rating, and especially a review. It's been a while since we've gotten a review. Yep. I mentioned earlier that the Star Trek Discovery podcast is also available. I want to just point out StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. It is a part of the GoldenSpiralMedia.com website. So if you're on there, you'll be able to find us. Just, you know, search the podcast, and you'll see the Star Trek Discovery podcast there. And it also has a Facebook group, and that is facebook.com/groups/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. So we appreciate you know, if you're gonna listen to me on there, and I hope we will get some crossover. I'm, you know, very much looking forward to covering that show.
It's cool. Like I'm excited for it. I might be behind for a couple because I haven't subscribed to the CBS thing yet, but yeah. I plan on it.
I haven't either. So, it doesn't come out until, Sunday. Like, so you can guess when I will finally sign up for an account. Sunday night. Yeah. So, there are ways to support, the network as well. And we want to just highlight that by, if you go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support, and if you go to the blog posts, or if you look, I think it's in many podcast apps, you'll see in the show notes, a link to the Amazon affiliate extension within Chrome, which makes it really easy to apply the Amazon affiliate ID, which is if you're just putting it through manually. The affiliate tag is THEFR08-20. So that is our affiliate. But if you go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support, you can just, there is a link to Amazon through that. So, all right. Take us out.
All right. So, next episode, season 3, episode 12, Brother's Keeper. We don't know who it's written by yet. It's directed by Alec Riley. And description is:
as Nick and Jake set out to handle a delicate situation, the ranch prepares for a threat greater than any they've faced before.
What that makes me think, it's possible walkers or just them, each other.
Or both.
Yeah. Or Troy comes back and yeah. Tries to kill everyone.
Or he tries to hug everybody, everyone that's a Clark.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, anyway, that's it for this episode. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And this is
Fear the Walking Dead Talk-Through.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.